Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-65 Reynolds Road LLC.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I'm not going to participate in this one.
So you're going to leave us counselless?
Counselless. You'll do fine.
Not exactly. Okay, well.
This application is subdivision number 2005-65, the application of Reynolds Pond LLC to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, dividing 47.55 acres into 95 lots, proposed under the cluster development concept, located west of Reynolds Pond, being Road 233, 2,278 feet north of Draper Road, also known as Road 235. Now, this application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, the TAC report of March 15th of this year will be made a part of the record. The applicant submitted a revised plan and an exhibit booklet. Each of you has a copy of that. That'll be made a part of the record. And today we received two letters. One was from John Fiore with DelDOT. It's an email. They've reviewed the entrance plan and they have issued a letter of no objection. However, it's not been signed yet, and Tidewater Utilities has sent a letter stating that they are willing and able to serve the project. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney from here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, Reynolds Road LLC. I have with me Mr. Mark Davidson from the DC group, who is busying himself trying to get some posters up for us. I also have with me Carrie and Keith Monagle, who are principals of Reynolds Road LLC, and I have Brian Hoyt from Tidewater right here behind Mr. Monagle.
Okay.
Those gentlemen will not all be testifying this evening, but they are here to answer any questions, should you have any, as the evening progresses. As you're aware, Reynolds Road LLC owns property located on Sussex County Road 233, curiously named Reynolds Road. It is not to be confused with any other Reynolds application that you may have had from this particular area. We're not affiliated with nor located in that area. If you haven't been there yet, the easiest way to find this is to go up Route 1 to the Valero, which is more or less across from where the Broadkill Sportsman Club entrance used to be. Turn left, and you'll be there in about 2 minutes. It's not very far from Route 1 at all. The site contains 47.55 acres. It is currently zoned agricultural residential, and our hope is that you will agree with us that a better use of the property would be as an agricultural residential subdivision using the cluster subdivision format. Currently, its state is such that it is being actively tilled. There is a corn crop that is located there, and to the rear of the property is a large area which is natural woodlands or forested area, if you will. The area is characterized in the county land use plan as being proposed for low density, and it's a level 4 in the state spending strategies map. Each of you has had the opportunity to review an exhibit book that we presented. I had hoped to make it 5 volumes larger like I did the last time I was here, but I ran out of land, paper, and energy to do that. So we've got something here I think that is befitting of this particular project. In particular, I would ask you to take a look as we go through the evening and various things that are inserted in here. In particular, right behind the list of the project team, about 3 pages, is a page called Site Data, which tells you who we are, what we have, what we're proposing to do, and what the various densities, acreages, setbacks are. If you go on down about 2 or 3 more tabs, you'll find one called Maps, which I find particularly useful, and it includes color photographic representations of what the area looks like. It was prepared by Orthophoto, These are particularly good aerial photos, and there are five or six of these that include the Delaware land use of the property. They include wetlands inventory, the zoning map, and other items that will help you with your consideration of this project. There also is a tab called Cluster, which is the analysis that you need to have as a cluster subdivision, including both those items that are required by Title 99, Section 9C, and also by the zoning code for your consideration. Mr. Davidson will address all of those with you in a few minutes when he makes his presentation. We have also included the plus comments with our rebuttal to those particular plus comments, and I shouldn't say rebuttal as much as I should say our response to each of those, and it is done in the fashion that we think is most helpful to you, and that is the comment plus the response being in one document. There also are the technical reports that are included there, as well as the actual plus application itself. I have prepared, and there are included in here, a set of covenants for this particular project. They design architectural review requirements, the formation of a homeowners association, the perpetual maintenance of the various features that are located in this project, including but not necessarily limited to the streets, the recreational facilities, the woodland, the areas that will be set aside as forested or other types of buffers. And we will again have that described by Mr. Davidson. Sanitary waste on this particular project will be treated by Tidewater Environmental. We're told that the soils on this site are excellent for this particular purpose. Water also will be by Tidewater Utilities, and I'm informed that the certificates of public convenience and necessity are in existence for these projects. As you're aware, it's not until the construction of the sanitary waste facility is complete that a rate or a tariff can be formulated for these projects, but or this project, but as it goes forward, one will be given. There are delineated wetlands on the site. They were delineated by Kenneth Redinger. A copy of that is also included in the material for you, along with all of the location maps that I've talked about and other design criteria for the project. And what I'd like to do for you is not waste the rest of your evening letting you listen to a lawyer, but I'd like to let you talk to or hear from the people who actually are interested in the project by way of either ownership or by having actually done all the design. So with your chairman or permission, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call Mr. Monagle to the podium and let him express how he and his brother and the rest of the LLC got to this point with this particular project, and then we'll go to Mr. Davidson, who will give the technical data.
Good evening, Commissioners. Good evening, Chairman. My name is Carrie Monagle. I live at 11 Eagle Way in Rehoboth Beach. I'm one of the developers of Bay Manor. Bay Manor, over the last couple of years, has gone through a lot of changes and revisions. Those revisions have been due to our thorough review of the plus comments and our desire to create a superior project. Bay Manor meets or exceeds all of the county regulations for the cluster subdivision. Bay Manor has also been very carefully planned and fine-tuned to the project you see in front of you tonight. During the revisions, we reduced the amount of lots by 10%. We've gone from 95 to 85 lots. This change has enabled us a couple of things. Number one, it's enabled us to keep the natural forested environment, which is shaded in black, 100% undisturbed. There's no lots. There's no roads, there's no utilities in the woods. Number two, it has increased our open space in the project, which now totals 56%. And number three, it's lessened the environmental impact of the project. We've included in Bay Manor a very generous and useful amenities package with the tot lot the pool and the clubhouse, and also the recreation path, which has been described by the Delaware Department, by the Delaware Division of Parks and Recreation, as the number one needed amenity in Sussex County. And as you can see from the plan, it's quite extensive and will be inclusive of park benches for the residents of Bay Manor to sit and enjoy the natural beauty of the property. Bay Manor is well located to the major roads in the area and to shopping. It is 1/2 mile from Route 1, it's 1/2 mile from Route 5, and it's 1/2 mile, as Dennis pointed out, from the Valero gas station and convenience store. To sum up Bay Manor, it's a project that consists of over half of the land as open space. It has a lot density of less than 2 per acre. We have kept as an asset for the community the natural forested area. We've left that undisturbed. And we have included a very generous, useful amenity package that can be used for people of all ages, from children to senior citizens. I've been a resident of Sussex County for the last 25 years. I'm raising my kids here. Sussex County is my home, and going into this project, I wanted to be sure that we ended up with a project that I would be proud of and one that would be an asset to the surrounding area, and I believe this plan will be both of those. Thank you.
Thank you, Kerry. Let me present Mr. Mark Davidson, who is the design professional on this job.
Good evening. I'm Mark Davidson. I am the principal of Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. This subdivision, as prepared, as the cluster, as for a cluster development, under Section 115.25E.
Davidson, excuse me. I need to ask you, and I understand that you're principal of the design firm. You're going to testify as an expert. I need you to tell us what your qualifications are. What's qualifying you to testify as an expert this evening?
I've been doing this type of work in Sussex County for approximately 20 years with various firms. I started Design Consultants Group approximately 8 years ago. Under the design requirements for the cluster development, number one was all development shall be in accordance with the latest amendment. This project is being presented under the cluster ordinance in effect at the time this application was filed. The application, as it was submitted, called for 95 lots, which yielded a density of 2 units per acre. Since the plus process and receiving the TAC comments, we have reduced the number of lots to 85, which has a density of 1.79 units per acre. The minimum lot size on this is 7,500 square feet. The maximum lot size is 8,033 square feet, and the average lot size is 7,651 square feet. Number two, the housing types in the low density area, as shown on the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The development has a proposed density of less than 2 units per acre and is consistent with the uses permitted in the low density area up to the 2002 Sussex County Land Use Plan. And the AR1 zoning district permits residential development and with the ordinance relating to the cluster development and subdivisions. All lots are for single-family dwellings and will be subject to the covenants restrictions as submitted for this project. The proposed project is consistent with the trend of single-family residential development in the area. Number three, forested buffers up against the agriculture area. As you will see on the plan here, we are providing 30-foot buffers, landscape buffers, along all the property lines, and we're also providing a 30-foot landscape buffer along Reynolds Road. The next requirement is dwellings that are located within 50 feet of any existing residential development shall meet some requirements, and we meet those requirements by providing a landscaping buffer along the southerly side of the property with what we are going to propose to do is with any land disturbance that we're doing, the soil removal, we're going to provide landscaping berms within those landscaped areas. Number five, that no lot shall have direct access to any state-maintained roads. We do have one entrance. It's located within about the middle of the project. This one entrance, all lots will be on the, will come from the private streets within. As stated earlier, a letter of no objection for the entrance location was submitted earlier today. There was no traffic impact study that was required for this development, and it is anticipated that there will be no adverse effect on any area roadways. Number six is all lots shall be configured to be contained completely outside of all the wetlands. The wetlands located here on the site is located along Deep Branch, and we are providing for a 100-foot buffer, which is shown on the preliminary subdivision plans along here. All the lots have been taken out of that area. There will be no lots encroaching within the 100-foot buffer. There are approximately 1.69 acres of wetlands on this site. The wetlands delineation has been submitted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Number seven talks about any development using the option in subsection B2 shall have central water and wastewater. In the booklet, it should, under the utility section, the developer has entered into an agreement with Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. and Tidewater Utilities, both being licensed state of Delaware utility companies. They have filed for the CPCN for both water and wastewater systems for this property. Both systems will be owned, operated, and maintained by Tidewater, and both will be regulated by the Public Service Commission. The design of the wastewater collection system will be in accordance with Sussex County ordinances and submitted to Sussex County and Deneric for approval. The wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal system will be designed in accordance with the Deneric and submitted for their approval. The water distribution and treatment system will be designed in accordance with Tidewater, Fire Marshal, and Public Health regulations and will be will be submitted for their approval. Under that section for the review procedures for the cluster development, the plan was submitted to the Office of State Planning and Coordination and has gone through the PLUS procedure as outlined by Sussex County. In the booklet are the comments by the State Planning and our response letter back to them. All existing woodlands, open spaces, and wetlands are clearly delineated on the plan, and the review of this project revealed no historical cultural resources on the site. Number two under the requirements is the information submitted shall include a plan for management of all open spaces. Again, in your booklet under the open space section, there, the open space will be managed by a professional management company, CPR Property Management, LLC, which will be under contract with the developer or the homeowners association. CPR Property Management will manage and advise the homeowners association for all the recreation facilities such as the pool, clubhouse, sidewalks, and walking trails. Open space areas such as open lawns, landscape areas, wooded areas, and stormwater management, and they will also help manage the maintenance of all the streets within the subdivision. Number three, it states that the Sussex County Planning Commission shall determine that the following requirements are met before approving the cluster development. Under A, the cluster development sketch plan and preliminary plan for the cluster subdivision provides for a total environment and design which are superior. The cluster option with the reduced lot sizes allowed us to place the lots so that they are back to the, that all lots are back up to open space, some form of open space within the site. We were able to pull all the lots out of the existing wooded areas and away from any and all wetlands on site. The standard lot option would result in much less open space, far more destruction of natural features, less wetland buffering, and significantly more area being consumed by larger lots, and correspondingly less recreation, passive, or visually pleasing open spaces. Under B, the cluster development plan will preserve the natural environment and any historic and archaeological resources. From the original design of the 95 lots, the wastewater facility was moved inside of the property. On the first submittal of the 95 lots, we were showing that the wastewater facility was up in this corner, up in the, I would say, the southeast corner of the site. We have moved the wastewater facility to the to within the site. Another aspect of from the original design was the water facility we had placed in this portion of the woods here, and we have removed it, and we have placed the water treatment facility over here. And the water treatment facility we placed in the same building as the wastewater treatment facility. One of the other types of aspects of being able to preserve the natural environment is our stormwater management concept for this project. The overall stormwater concept will be a conservation design or a low impact development design. This type of design minimizes the impact of stormwater runoff downstream and utilizes on-site stormwater retention through bioretention and infiltration methods such as rain gardens and bioswales. This allows the stormwater to be distributed evenly around the site and recharged back into the ground rather than leaving the site. Reducing stormwater runoff rates, removing pollutants from the runoff, and recharging the stormwater into the ground are key tenets of this type of design. By reducing the water pollution and increasing groundwater recharge, the stormwater concept plan for this development will improve the quality of water and stabilize the flow rate into the adjacent wetlands. These type of bioretention swales and practices have proven to reduce sediment transport by up to 80%. To prevent additional removal of existing vegetation on site, we are working on designs for stormwater management that will utilize the existing vegetation on site by incorporating bermed areas around the existing vegetation. This type of system will be designed to handle up to a 100-year storm event. We are currently working with Kenneth Redinger Environmental Services and the Conservation District to come up with the best management practices and designs to incorporate the existing vegetation into our design. As part of our, through the PLUS process, we prepared a nutrient budget analysis for this site. The protocol was prepared to ascertain the site's post-development nutrient loading rate. The post-development loading rate of this development was compared to a known loading rate of the Inland Bay's low reduction area. The actual loading rate is comparable to the mandated TMDL of the Inland Bay's low reduction area. All best available technologies and best management practices will be incorporated to reduce all impacts. Under C of the guidelines talks about addressing all the items under the subdivision code, section 99-9C. The integration of the proposed subdivision and existing terrain and surrounding landscape. Careful attention was directed at the relocation of the wastewater and the water treatment and disposal systems to the adjoining properties. The reduction of lots and activities requiring forest removed and forested areas to the greatest extent possible. And the wetlands have been avoided at all costs, and a minimum 100-foot buffer has been provided. The minimum number two is the minimum use of wetlands and floodplains. This entire development has been removed from the wooded area where the wetlands are located, which is a long, deep branch, and this site is located outside the 500-year floodplain. Number three is the preservation of natural and historic features. The review of this property revealed no culture or historical features. This subdivision utilizes context-sensitive design standards, a performance-based community septic system, a minimum of 100-foot buffer setback from wetlands or waters of the United States, and additional planting of street trees, the use of rain gardens and low-impact development, BMPs, along all roadways. We also have the provision of 56% of open space, and there will be limited to no impact to the existing vegetation, and a reduction of site's imperviousness. Conservatively, all these measures will reduce the impact this development will have on the environment and sensitive resources area, on-site and off-site. Number four is the preservation of open space and scenic views. The revised plan shows a variety of open space that adds up to approximately 56% of the site area, and that is exclusive of the wastewater treatment area. This exceeds the 30%, the minimum 30% open space as required by the county. This open space is provided to the residents of this development for recreation, wildlife habitat, landscaping, stormwater management. Additional street forested areas are being established throughout the site. As part of our recreational, we do have located on one side of the street, we do have an 8-foot wide walking path. On sheet S2 of the package, I have typical cross sections that show what we are going to be providing here. And we do have an 8-foot wide walking path on one side. The eight foot walking path amounts to about 1 mile of sidewalks along all roadways. The proposed walking trail throughout all the open spaces here, as it's shown through in the woods here and around the open areas here, it also adds up to about 1 mile of walking trails. The minimization of tree vegetation and soil removal in preserving the existing buffering capacity and wildlife habitat on site. The site plan was revised so that the overall 12.45 acres of upland woodlands will be preserved. The site will be reforested with street trees to further increase the total acreage of forested resource on site. Number six, screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. The wastewater facility was moved to within the property, fenced and buffered with trees. Vegetated buffers are being incorporated along the north and south side and along the county road of this property. Provision for water supply, I spoke about that earlier. Water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. The provision for sewage disposal. In recognizing the need to be in compliance with the future TMDL for the Broadkill River subwatershed to which this property belongs, a central wastewater system instead of individual on-site septic systems are being proposed for this development. Preliminary soil feasibility studies and site investigation reports indicate that the majority of on-site soils are well drained, and these soils have the potential to support the community on-site wastewater treatment disposal system. The type of system that is being planned for this site is rapid infiltration basins. Number nine is the prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater. I stated earlier that we did prepare a nutrient protocol for this site. 10 is the minimization of erosion and sedimentation. As part of our preparation for the site stormwater and grading plans for approvals by Sussex County Engineering and the Conservation District, the developer has recognized that Sussex County is developing a groundwater recharge ordinance and has incorporated into the revised site plans recommendations to augment recharge throughout this development. For example, the rain gardens, the bioretention, biofiltration along all the roadways and throughout the site. The provision of abundance of open spaces, 56%, stormwater management structures, and additional planting of street trees will augment recharge throughout this site. Number 11, provision for the safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent ways. This site will have walking paths, sidewalks on one side of the road. We do provide for stub streets to the adjacent properties for the future. This site also will have a, we are proposing a bus stop and shelter out along the front for the for school bus, and possibly it could be also be used for any DART, for the DART program. Number 12, the effect on the area property values. The project will be compatible with the other area land uses, including residential development in the vicinity. In addition, the project has been designed to minimize any adverse impacts on properties that are adjacent to it and to provide protection to the adjacent agricultural uses. The preservation and conservation of farmland. The approval of this project at 1.79 units per acre will provide housing opportunities just off the north-south quarter of Delaware Route 1. And it is adjacent to more intensely developed and zoned uses to the northwest, and will result in a conservation of farmland by locating such a project in an appropriate location. Also, this project has provided for 56% open space and has buffered this development from the adjacent farmland to the north and east. The effect on number 14 is the effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities. The project will have a positive benefit on the schools by generating economic benefits in the form of increased revenues through property taxes. Number 15, effect on area roadways and public transportation. No traffic impact study was needed by DLDOT to support existing traffic and additional traffic from this development. Road improvement plans for this project will be finalized with DLDOT. Number 16, compatibility with the other area land uses. The developers have recognized the dichotomy between the zoning and uses to the north and south from those lying on the east, and have endeavored to provide protection to the agricultural lands to the north and east while providing a low-density housing alternative to the higher-density mobile home parks to the north. 17, the effect on area waterways. It should be noted that best management practices will be implemented to the greatest degree practicable to protect sensitive headwaters and other water bodies. A 100-foot vegetated buffer will be employed from the edge of the wetland complex on site. And lastly, some of the approvals that we have to date are in your booklet, one being the Sussex County Addressing Department has approved the road names. Denerec has approved the site feasibility study for the location of the on-site wastewater treatment disposal area. And as was stated earlier today, we received the letter of no objection for the location of the entrance. Thank you.
I'm going to conclude for the applicant, but I wanted to point out three things. Gentlemen, as you know, I've seen one of these before myself, having worked here for a few years. But there are three things on here that I think are really give this the superior quality you're looking for. One of them is the open space for the rear yard, which I think is a concept that you're probably seeing more and more of, but it allows for a person to not only have their privacy of their own backyard and be able to do whatever it is that a family would typically want to do in their own backyard, but to have the ability also to have an open space for kids or whatever recreational activities you would like to have. And it just makes for a nice neighborhood feel. The second thing is trying to incorporate trees into it, because as you preserve the rear of this, you got to keep the wooded look as to the rest of the subdivision, and it gives you a mature subdivision look that I think you all like to see. And probably the most important thing, I asked Keith to go out and take pictures of this, because I'm sure you couldn't get to the woods. At least I didn't try to get to the woods. Because of the crop that's currently in. But this is what the wooded area looks like at the rear of this property. And this is particularly significant because it expresses for you what the preservation of this particular back area will look like. And this is not cut over timber. It is fairly open as things go. And you can see there are trails that naturally exist in there and can continue to exist in there. And by preserving that, I think that meets the spirit of the cluster subdivision ordinance that requires or asks developers to look into preserving as much of the open space or forested area as they can. One other point that I, or two other points I'd like to make with you this evening are that the developers of the project have communicated with the Milton Volunteer Fire Company, which will be the first responders in this area, and have offered to make donations to the Volunteer Fire Company to help compensate them for any additional equipment or capital expenditures they may need to make in order to serve this particular project. I think it's also obvious that because it's only 85 lots, we're not proposing a phasing plan. By the time you do 85 lots and do all the infrastructure in this particular project, you have phase one, and that's the end of it. So all of it is being proposed as a unified project. There is an open space management plan. I think we've spoken about that. We meet the criteria set forth in section 115.25 by having a 1.79 units per acre density, which is below the two, which is consistent with both the low density of the county's land use plan and the level four. There are no expenditures being asked for from the state. We believe that this project is the superior cluster subdivision that was intended by this particular ordinance when it was conceived several years ago. As a courtesy to your attorney, whomever it may be that reviews this project or helps you with any findings of fact that you need, we have submitted findings of fact and conditions that are in the last tab in the book. I will tell you that since I wrote the restrictive covenants, I'm satisfied they meet the minimum standards of the attorneys for your commission. And lastly, but not least, all of the documents, the exhibits, the posters, and the comments that we've submitted, we'd ask to be made a part of the public record of these proceedings. Mr. Chairman, I hope that we've answered all of your questions. I'm sure we haven't. We will endeavor to answer them and be available for whatever you need at this point.
Thank you, sir. We'll find out if you've answered them all or not. And we'll start with Mr. Burton.
What is the green area? Okay, is that part of?
You're talking about to the rear of the property?
Rear of the property.
Yeah, that's all part of the open space with the existing wood. Isn't that right?
That is there a difference between the green and the black?
Yeah, but this, our property line actually runs right here. I'm just showing how it was contiguous to another forested area and that we're not going to fragment that at all. It's going to stay wooded. So.
Okay.
So that's not factored in any calculations?
No, not at all. The property line actually runs right down here.
What is the proposed fence that'll go around the outside of the wastewater bed there in the back?
It will be a split rail fence.
And you mentioned berming up on the side. You're doing some kind of berming between
the
two
greening out the roads here. What we'll do is we'll take the topsoil that will be taken up from that. And
right there,
go ahead and create landscaping berms along here.
Okay. Just along that one side.
Well, actually, the landscaping berms will follow all along through here.
Okay. Good deal. I have no further questions.
Stormwater management, how's that being handled in this project?
Johnson.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here, come help.
We're going to use a conservation design approach. We've been doing this on several other projects where we're going to utilize
what we designed in on sheet S2. On the cross section here, what you see is we typically will, on one side of the road, on the one side we will have the sidewalk. We have an 8-foot wide sidewalk. We'll have a 7-foot landscape areas. On the other side, we will have a swale. We're working on these designs where we do plantings inside the swales, and with some of the slopes that we can use, and typically with soils that we have encountered here on this site, we have seasonal high water tables that are greater than 72 inches, water depths of 12 feet or more. We're able to utilize the soil that's on site to help infiltrate the water. The type of stormwater structure that we're looking at doing, if you look at on the other sheets, you'll see that the contours, the site drains towards the deep branch area, and it starts to drop off in the wooded areas here. And what our plan is approximately in this area right in here, we will take and we will take a berm, and we've done this design before, where we take a berm and we will wrap it around the existing vegetation on site. These are typically dry areas. What it does is, through bioretention, we will be able to discharge at the pre-development rates. What we design is a, it's escaped me now. It's like a curb. Basically, it's an outlet structure here that will slowly release the water, and it'll, through the berming through these wooded areas here, the existing vegetation will help soak up the water, and it does reduce the actual runoff off the site.
So between your bioretention and your berming, you're not going to need the ponds?
No, that's correct.
I like that. I noticed, too, that there were several stub streets or connectors. Is that something that PLUS was requiring? Because I didn't see it in PLUS. Or is that just something in anticipation of future developments?
DelDOT usually requires us to provide stub access to adjacent properties, and that's what we've done here. We've extended the right-of-ways to the actual property lines, to the, and that's usually DelDOT required that. They ask for that.
But that's not something that, in terms of other developments that are coming along in that area, that you're aware of?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Cordy.
Mr. Johnson asked my question. I'm glad. I thought I had missed it about the stormwater. What type of housing are you proposing as far as price?
Mr. Monaco answered that one.
We are proposing custom-built houses, stick-built houses. We're thinking the price range, as it stands right now, somewhere in the neighborhood of $275,000 to $325,000, $350,000.
Now, are you building them, or will you have a say in what's being built? Or,
well, yeah, the restrictions and covenants will require, a certain size home and an architectural review to ensure that what's built is nice and attractive.
That's all the questions I have.
Okay, then, Mr. Lang.
I had my question was related to interconnection with adjoining properties also, and that's the only question I had.
Okay, Mr. Couts.
Just one question about the nutrient budget. I noticed that it did not meet the requirements for total phosphorus removal.
Well, based on the protocol that's set right now, the phosphorus removals is set so that it's too low to really actually meet. What we end up having to do is we have to put in series different BMPs on the stormwater end, whether it's bioretention swales, mechanical type stormwater treatment systems, and as long as we can effectively produce the BMPs that satisfy the protocol that is going to be approved, then typically, yeah, as long as we have to do something. There's phosphorus, I don't think you're ever going to get, based on the numbers that the state is regulating right now, you're never going to meet the phosphorus for this. But you have to, what that will ensure us is to be able to put in the types of structures to be able to help clean up the water prior to it discharging off site.
All right, sir.
Another question?
Yes, sir.
You were referencing the paved walkways on one side of the road. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that going to be on the exterior lots or the interior lots?
Actually, they haven't been placed yet. When we start to set the grades on the roads, well, that'll determine which side of the road the sidewalks will go on. But
I don't have that shown on the actual subdivision plans, but we do show, if you look on the color rendering, we do show roads on one side. And everything is interconnected. We do have crosswalks. There will be connectivity to all the open spaces through all the walkways.
Because I noticed with most of your interior blocks, you do have the interconnecting walkways that would provide some of the interconnection with the housing, but that's why I was wondering if the sidewalks are going to be on the exterior ones that are not interconnected with walkways.
Again, right now it's shown for illustrative purposes, okay. But it'll be finalized when we go to do our grading for the road.
All right. No further questions. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-65 Reynolds Road, LLC?
Yes, my name is Jim Wellew, 30231 East Mill Run, Overbrook Shores, Milton, Delaware. And I'm also the owner of the property to the southeast. And I was very pleased. I had looked at the plan up in the Office of Planning and Zoning. I'm very pleased to see that they've moved the wastewater treatment to the area that they have. I think that's a great improvement from what I saw originally. The other point I would like to make is that when we had the 100-year rainfall or whatever it was back at the end of June, there's an awful lot of water that in the present cornfield that flows in this direction. And I'm sure from what Mr. Davidson said about their stormwater management plan that they will be addressing that. I just want to make sure that they're aware that, and I'm sure they are with their topo plans, that land does about a third of the way up on the right-hand side, maybe halfway back. There's very much of a natural flow there that goes over to Deep Branch ultimately, or to the potential wastewater treatment area that's in the middle of that area. One thing that I didn't understand in Mr. Davidson's presentation, and maybe you can ask him to clarify it for me, he was discussing DLDOT having some requirements of some type of access to neighboring properties, and I'm not quite sure what he was saying.
What DLDOT frequently requires is what they refer to as a stub road, or simply it's a little road that dead ends at the property line, so that at some future time, if the adjacent property is developed, that the two developments could be linked.
Which would be good for fire rescue squads, etc.
I have no idea, sir, I presume. What it's good for. But I just know that they require it.
It's good for interconnectivity.
I think it's good for what they call interconnectivity, and would seem to me.
Well, I'll discuss that with the Monagles and Mr. Davidson.
The adjacent development, while they're in the first development putting out a house fire, yep, they could get right across there without having to go out on the highway.
And it's easier to turn around, et cetera, et cetera.
I guess.
I'm very pleased with the plan as a neighbor. It looks good. Okay. One, I don't mean to be nitpicky, but everything I've read of the description, and I don't know if this has any legal bearing, and your counsel is no longer here, temporarily.
We can get a legal question answered.
But all the descriptions of the property talk of this property as being 2,000 feet north of Draper Road. Mm-hmm. It's actually 2,000 feet south.
Well, most lawyers I know don't know north from south.
So. Thank you.
Mr. Schrader,
we'll stipulate to the fact that we don't know north.
Okay. All right, then. We will make sure that doesn't cause a notice issue or anything, but I doubt that it does, but I do appreciate the clarification. I'm glad somebody noticed, so thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak in favor? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-65? Is there anyone on the commission that has any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite all of you gentlemen to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision. Or if you must, you may call the office in the morning. Our next